We're going to come around God's Word, and I'm going to go into part two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's probably just worth reminding everyone, is everybody okay? You're sitting comfortably? Right, just checking, okay? Just a reminder that a sermon is never the last word on anything, on any given subject. But, you know, I just want us to spend a bit of time looking at this, maybe in a bit more detail if you're interested. If you want to know more about these things and you want to do a Bible study on it, come and let me know. Because there's only so much we can cover on a Sunday morning in a sermon. And yet when you stop to study the Bible, you start to find out that everything is linked together and you go off in all these different tangents and have all these branches. So if you'd be interested in studying these things more, give me a shout. Because today we're only really touching on salient points. You know, I wonder, how do we approach a subject like gifts of the Spirit? How do you approach a subject like gifts of the Spirit? Do you approach it with appetite or with aversion? There's a challenging question. Are we hungry for the things of God, or are we kind of a little bit skeptical or a bit whatever about the things of God? Just a little question I want to throw out there. To have an appetite for something, and I'm going to do something that might actually ruin my whole message here, okay? This might just actually make you forget about everything else I'm going to say, okay? To have an appetite for something like what's on the screen, I don't know about you, I look at that, and I can feel the juices starting to flow, right? Okay, for those who are not into meat, you might be more kind of vegetarian, that's okay. And then for those who are into neither, it might be this. And for those who are not into any of that, it might be this. Okay? Mary, I knew that would just get you, right? And I wonder what's our appetite like for the things of the Spirit? We look at pictures like that, and it creates a response. It creates a reaction within us. You're like, I can't wait till this is finished, because I want to get home and put the dinner on. But today, I want us to just think about this. You know, do we have an appetite for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Do we have an appetite for it? As we come together as church, do we have an appetite for that manifestation of the Holy Spirit? That's what the nine gifts that we're thinking about this morning are. They are a manifestation of the Spirit. And Paul lists a number of gifts further down in the passage that are not just a manifestation of the Spirit, but they are the charis gifts. And he mentions not just those, but gifts of Christ to the church, like apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, teachers, all these things that we read about in Ephesians 4, gifts of Christ to the church. But these are specifically a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder, how hungry are we for it? I said last week the early church experienced power, then persecution. Imagine a world of persecution without power. Imagine in this nation, at this point in time, if we, the church, began to experience real persecution. I'm not talking about the persecution that we think we receive. We look around the world and we see what's happening in the world, and we realize there are people who are really being persecuted for their faith. Imagine being persecuted for your faith without the power to withstand that persecution. Mary came across an article this week, a news article. And in that article, it said just 49% of Britons said they believed in God in 2022, down from 75% in 1981. That's a big drop. But listen to this. The main story remains that most people in Britain aren't very interested in religion. That said, the glass remains half full when it comes to belief in God or life after death. People are losing faith in all sorts of institutions these days. And people are losing faith, sadly, in the church. And I wonder why that is. Is it because there's so much corruption in our nation, and we even see it infiltrating into the church, where church leaders are falling from grace? And I don't know, maybe I shouldn't use that phrase, fall from grace. When we fall, that's when we receive grace. Let me just clarify that. When we fall, that's when we receive grace. I don't know about you, in the times when I mess up, I hope that the grace of God is available for me to actually forgive me, to get me back up on my feet and say, get going, guy, right? Don't let the devil keep you down. Don't let the devil keep you down, and don't let the devil keep the church down. I think that what our community needs and what our nation needs is a church that's filled with the power of God, that's filled with the demonstration of the kingdom of God here on earth. And that comes in many ways, but I want to highlight this morning that it comes through these gifts that we're talking about. Spiritual fruit is a manifestation of kingdom principles. The gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation of kingdom power. I don't know what to say other than this. We need a powerful church. God needs a powerful church. And our lost world that we have responsibility for just now as Christians to pray about and to live into needs a powerful church. They need to see a powerful church. I don't know about you, but it's so easy to lose faith in religion, to lose faith in the forms and all the things and the trappings, and we go, where's it making any difference in practical terms and spiritual terms to people's lives? Is it? And it may be. And I'm not criticizing them. I'm here in my heart. I'm trying not to be critical. But what I'm trying to say is that the church needs power. I want to suggest also that we all have a lens that we look through. If you look through the lenses of those sunglasses, you'll see that what it's sitting on has changed color, hasn't it? So the decking that that's sitting on, it looks quite wooden, and then when you look at it through those glasses, it suddenly changes to this odd, abnormal color. And I want to suggest that when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, we all have a lens that we look through. And I want to challenge us about this particular lens. And one of the most controversial of all the gifts, and for some reason it still seems to be the same, is the gift of speaking in tongues. I want to give you a little test here, okay? The lens that you're looking through, what lens are you looking through when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit? Lens number one, 1 Corinthians 14:5. Now, I would like all of you to speak in tongues. That's what Paul's saying to the Corinthians. And Paul's speaking to people who are already experiencing these things, and the reason he's writing is to bring it back under control and to bring order into their worship and bring order into their gatherings. They're already experiencing it. And Paul says, I would like all of you to speak in tongues. That's lens number one. You know when you go to the opticians and he does that little thing and he flips the lens around, you're like, is it clearer here? Is it clearer here? Is it clearer here? And I'm like, can you do it again, please? Because I can't make up my mind. Lens number two. Paul says this also, nevertheless, in the church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Verse 19. Which lens are you looking through? Lens number one, lens number two, lens number one, lens number two. I would like to suggest to you that what Paul is saying here is important. Both of them are important. I listened to Francis Chan, John Piper, and John Bevere all speak briefly on the subject of speaking in tongues. This week, I listened to these videos. They were all different in their approach. One speaks in tongues, two don't, and those who don't are open, or seem to be, and but they also come across as very humble people who acknowledge the work of God in the church. All placed a different emphasis depending on their overall context of what they were saying, as well as their experiences. And I can send you the links if you want the links to those videos and you can listen to them. And they're discussing this controversial gift of the Spirit called speaking in tongues. I don't know about you, but I think it's not about either or, but both. All the gifts of the Spirit are there. All the gifts of the Spirit are vital in the church. And I want us to just briefly explore it. I'll try and stick to my notes and not go off into tangents, okay? I'm trying really hard today, so bear with me. If you want to say amen, feel free. If you want to smile back at me, feel free. I love encouragement. I thrive on encouragement, just as you do. And I want you to just try and stick with me a wee bit, because I'm not going to preach, but try and teach a wee bit for a little bit this morning. Don't worry, I'm going to spend a bit of time on this subject of tongues, because Paul does that in 1 Corinthians 14. So I'm going to spend a wee bit of time on that, and I'm going to talk about the other eight, but I'll only spend a sentence on each of the other eight, okay? So just don't panic, okay? Just stay with me. Let's look at the first of those gifts. There are three broad groupings of gifts that I'll talk about in a minute. But the first one is vocal gifts. It's all about speaking. And Paul talks about various tongues, the ability to speak in unlearned languages. These can be human languages or heavenly languages. There are different kinds of tongues. But what's unique about the gift, this particular gift of the Spirit, is that people speaking in a tongue can edify themselves. They can build themselves up. And that's, I would like to suggest, what's unique about the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4 says, "He who speaks in tongues edifies himself," their self, herself, whichever you prefer to use. There does not need to be a public aspect to the gift of tongues, unlike every other gift where it involves somebody else. So public doesn't necessarily mean from a platform in a congregational setting, but public can just mean where two or more people are coming together. Tongues is the only gifts where you don't need to be with somebody else to exercise because you can edify yourself. 1 Corinthians 14, I've already said that Paul spends more time talking about this gift. Remember that he's trying to rein them in, not to encourage them to experience and to go into. Right? They've already experienced. They've already tasted and seen that the Holy Spirit is absolutely magic and is doing some incredible things. And Paul's trying to say, look, guys, you need to kind of calm it down a bit. Calm down. Who remembers that? Anyway. So he's trying to rein them in. And tongues, I think, is a unique gift among the gifts for building up and for edifying ourselves. And so he spends more time on that particular gift. I think it is the easiest gift to be misused, to be misunderstood, and in some contexts, to be marginalized. So let's bear that in mind. But all the gifts can be misused. And I remember once having a conversation with somebody in the church here today, and they're in the room today. I hope you don't mind me saying this. Aren't tongues the least of the gifts? And I kind of replied, yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure. I'll need to go and do my Bible study. And I went away and I researched that, where it talks about tongues being the least of the gifts. And do you know what? I couldn't find it. It's not there. The only thing that would hint at something like that is 1 Corinthians 12:31, where it says, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts." So maybe there is a hierarchy and an order, and I'll explain that a little second. You see, the word is referring to gifts which excel in building up the church. In exactly the same way in 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talks about love being the more excellent way. And at the end of that chapter, Paul says, but these three that remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. It's the same word that's used, the Greek word that's used, right? The greatest of these is love. And when he's talking about the greater gifts, he's saying the same thing. And this is what I think he says. You can disagree with me if you like. You might think I'm off on a tangent. Love excels in building the community of believers. That's not to say that faith and hope are unimportant. They're vital. Faith and hope are vital, but love excels in building the community of believers. When somebody loves us, we know that. We instinctively know when somebody loves us because it comes out of their pores. Right? And the things they say and the smiles on their faces, where are they? Just checking. Love excels in building the community. And what Paul is saying is exercise publicly the gifts that excel in building the community of believers. There's an argument to be made that when Paul says, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, 1 Corinthians 12:28, the context is the various tongues and interpretation that he's just mentioned. How does he start talking about the gifts of the Spirit here? He says the gifts are there for the common good, the building of the community. And I think this is my interpretation, that what Paul is talking about here, when he mentions the gift of tongues, he's talking about the public message in tongues, which needs to be accompanied by an interpretation if it's public. I think that's what Paul is talking about. So when he says they all speak in tongues, I think what he's saying is they all speak in a message in tongues, which then needs to be interpreted. Not translated, interpreted. We sense what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we feel this is what God is saying as an interpretation to this tongue. So when Paul says, I wish that everyone spoke in tongues, I think the inference is that everyone can speak in tongues. Now, if you listen to those videos, which I linked, there are two people in those videos who say, I've prayed for the gift of tongues and I've never received it, but I'm really open to it. And for me, I want to just say there's an area of mystery about this. I don't know. The Holy Spirit gives gifts as he decides. But I know what Paul says. He says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. In these passages, I see three types of tongues, two public and one private. And I'm going to think for these just for a little moment. Paul said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, earthly languages and heavenly languages, there are two public earthly languages, heavenly languages which need to be interpreted, and one private, which is the tongues that edifies us. Let's think about this for a little moment. The first occasion where it talks about tongues in the New Testament is where it says in Acts 2:6, each one heard them speaking in his own language. The first use of the gift of tongues was when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, 120 people in an upper room, and it says they all began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them, and the people who were there heard the wonders of God being declared in their own languages. No need for interpretation. People knew what was being said because they heard the glory of God being declared in their own language. So the first incidence of public tongues was as a sign for unbelievers. Who were the unbelievers? The unbelievers were the Jews who had gathered for the celebration, the Feast of Pentecost. And this was a sign to those unbelieving Jews. Remember, these are the Jews who 50 days ago had just seen Jesus being crucified on a cross. And now they get challenged on that. And we read on in Acts to see how 3,000 came to faith that day. Flipping over to Acts chapter 10, we see that tongues are a sign for Jews who did not believe that the gospel was for the Gentiles. In fact, they had a major issue with Peter for getting into the house of Cornelius, a Gentile man, a Roman, and they had a big issue with him, even associating with a Gentile. But what happens, it's all been orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. Peter goes into the man's house, and they begin to talk about the things of God. And what happens, as Peter's speaking to them, the Holy Spirit comes, and they begin to speak in other languages. They heard, and this is what they report back. They heard them speaking in tongues. Earthly, heavenly, it doesn't say. But it says that they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. A public demonstration of tongues that's a sign for unbelievers. On the third occasion in Acts, tongues seems to be less about a sign for unbelievers, but they are a sign of the Spirit's power. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, Acts 19:6. So different occasions where people speak in tongues in public, and it's a sign, and some of those signs are for unbelieving people at that point in time, Jews. Then the second one is public expressions of the gift of tongues which need an interpretation. Not a translation, they're heavenly languages, but we do need an interpretation. If the public message in tongues was in a language that people could understand, there would be no need for an interpretation. And I've heard stories where somebody begins to speak in tongues and they're in a service and somebody is there who speaks that language. There's no need for an interpretation because somebody's hearing what God is saying in their own language. But generally, our experience is that it's a tongue that needs interpretation. And therefore, it says here in 1 Corinthians 14:13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. And we also see this in 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. I was speaking to a colleague just this week who we were talking about some of the things that happened at conference. And somebody was praying for this friend of mine. And the person would pray in tongues and then they would stop, and then they would pray in English, and then they would pray in tongues, and then they would pray in English, and then they would pray in tongues, and then they would pray in English. And what was happening was, this person was getting the interpretation of what was being prayed in tongues and speaking it out in English. And my friend said, this person spoke the word of God over my life. It's incredible. The gift of tongues flown alongside the gift of interpretation. Not just a whole message, but bits of a message, bits of a message, bits of a message. It's fascinating. We need to hear the word of God for our own lives, don't we? I don't know about you. I need to hear the word of God for my life. And it happens when we move in the flow of the Holy Spirit. The third instance is private tongues for prayer and for praise. And Paul identifies tongues as a prayer language. Who does he say if we speak in the tongues of men and angels? He said, if a person speaks in a tongue, he's praying to God. Paul actually says that he's praying to God. He's speaking directly to God. He's not speaking for the benefit of other people. And so I would argue that this is private tongues, which is our prayer language to God. We can sing in tongues. I love to sing in tongues when I'm in the car. Nobody else can hear me. Doesn't matter if I get it wrong. Paul says, I will speak with my mind and I will speak with the Spirit. I will sing with my mind and I'll sing with the Spirit. And if one makes the other redundant, if I can put it that way. So if you're using your mind to pray, the Spirit, well, it's not the Spirit that's praying, but we can pray with the Spirit enabling us to speak, if that makes sense. I don't necessarily think that praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues, because we can pray as we are led by the Spirit in English in ways that people can understand, and it's a powerful thing when we're in the flow of what the Holy Spirit is inspiring us to pray. So I just want to clarify that. That's my interpretation of this. And so that's the gift of tongues. I'm aware that time is absolutely rattling on here. But I hope that you can see, and if you study this for yourself, read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and read them in their entirety. Read it through, and then pray, and just read it slowly through, and just keep reading it, and you'll begin to see the patterns as you compare that with what happens in Acts, in chapter 2, and chapter 10, chapter 19. So that's the gift of tongues. And you'll be glad that we're not going to spend all that time on the other eight. I did say I just had a sentence in the other eight, didn't I? And I really promise that that's the case. The second of the gifts that are vocal gifts is the gift of interpretation. The ability to interpret a public message in tongues. And it should build up the faith of the people who are gathered, the people in the room, one or more people in the congregation. Not a translation, it's an interpretation. So when you hear a message in tongues, the interpretation might sound very different from that. You think, well, that was really short and that was really long. Well, maybe it's just, I don't know. I don't know. It's just, that's how it happens, okay? You get an interpretation, you just know that that's what God is saying. The third of those vocal gifts is prophecy. Paul emphasized prophecy, the dynamic, living, and powerful now word of God for a person or a situation. The point is that in all these gifts, we need to speak. But in order to speak, we need to be able to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So we've got to develop our ability to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. So these are vocal gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. They're all spoken out. There's another three set of gifts that are about revelation, revelatory gifts. The first of those that I've put on my list is distinguishing between spirits. Sometimes we call that discernment. And it's a knowing deep inside that there's something other than the Holy Spirit at work in a situation or a person. We feel a lack of peace about something, we feel a disturbance, and therefore we just get this sense that something's not quite right in a situation. After speaking in tongues, this was the second gift that God gave me, this is my personal experience, was just that ability to discern when something wasn't of the Spirit of God. You could just sense there's something in the room today, okay? And you go, whoa, what do I do about this? Well, you pray about it. And then you tell your leader, and you leave them to deal with it, which is what I used to do back in the day. And by the way, there's a problem with this, and you need to sort that out. And I'm praying about it, I'm praying for you. Then the second of those revelation gifts is the word of wisdom. Sophia is the word for wisdom. Logos Sophia, the word of wisdom. It's when God gives us a specific specific word for a specific situation. That wisdom doesn't necessarily come from within. We have our own wisdom, but this is wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives us. The third one is the word of knowledge. When God gives us specific knowledge that we could not otherwise have known, that could be about a person or a situation. It's often used in tandem with the gifts of healing, gifts of healings. It's quite an interesting thing, reading about healings. I've read about the experiences of people where they would actually, it's like a word of knowledge. So some people can say that there's somebody in here and you've got a problem with whatever. And just God gives that word of knowledge. But I've also read and heard about people who have experienced something physically and then began to pray along that line. There's somebody here who has such and such. And it gets used in tandem with the gifts of healings as well. It's an interesting one. I'm not an expert in this, by the way. I'm learning as I go along, so I hope you hear my heart in this. I had an experience just during the week. I was sitting doing my devotions, and I started to experience a pain in my left lung, and I was like, "Oh, what's happening now?" I actually put my hand on my chest, on the bit where it was sore, and I began to pray for four people who I knew were having problems with their breathing, problems with their lungs. And see, when I prayed, it disappeared. Gone. How strange is that? Just God sometimes giving us a knowledge that maybe there's somebody in this moment that needs prayer. As a pastor, I know that there are people who are struggling, and so you begin to pray into that. And the point that I want to emphasize here is in the revelation gifts, we need to develop an ability to sense the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying. Again, it's this sensing mechanism. How do we develop that? Do you know, I think it only comes if we're really hungry for it. It only comes if we invest in that. The last lot of gifts, and I'm doing not bad, I think. I know I'm over time, but we started late, okay? I got up here not at my usual time, okay? Is that okay? So you give me like 5 more minutes, is that okay? Right, 5 minutes, okay. The last lot of gifts are what are known as power gifts. The first of those is faith. You know, God gives us faith that saves us. We've all experienced that faith. We have that faith. God has given us that. But there's something different about the gift of faith which the Holy Spirit gives us for a specific situation, a specific person, group, whatever it may be. And I really felt last week that the interpretation of the tongue was that some people need to call out for the gift of faith. And the thing that you're experiencing, ask God to give you a gift of faith. It's a faith that goes beyond the faith that you have. I talked about a church in persecution, and it's happened in our nation over the centuries as well, where people have been given a gift of faith. That's why I'm very hesitant about thinking that unless somebody speaks in tongues, they can't experience any other gift of the Spirit. I'm quite hesitant about that, because I've seen other gifts of the Spirit in operation. Our Assemblies of God statement of faith used to use the phrase initial evidence, that the initial evidence of somebody experiencing the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is tongues. And I kind of struggled with that, and I've shared this before. It now says it's essential biblical evidence. And if you look at the Bible, in those three occasions, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, there's that essential biblical evidence that people speak in tongues. Why? Because it's the easiest, I think, of the gifts in one sense to operate in, because we don't even need to engage our brain, which is really good for me when I experienced it. Because I was only 22, and my brain hadn't started to kick in at that point in time, I don't think. Anyway, that's another story. Faith is a gift that God gives you for a specific situation. Gifts of healings. There are specific works of the Holy Spirit that are in operation in the church for the common good that profits the church, and it builds up our faith when we see answers to prayer. It's not by human means or not by human medicine. It's when the Holy Spirit comes and does something supernatural. The last one is miraculous powers, mighty deeds, works of power. Miracles are by definition an intervention of the Holy Spirit that overrules the laws of nature. It's when God intervenes in his creation for a specific purpose. I don't know about you. I'd like to see more of that. And the Bible talks not just about miracles, but it talks about Paul doing extraordinary miracles. Wow, what does that mean? More information, please, Luke, as you're writing your Acts of the Apostles. I wish you'd written a footnote in that. What did that look like? Extraordinary miracles. The point I want to make is that the church needs strength. I don't want to be part of a weak church. I don't want to be a weak Christian. I want to be a strong Christian, part of a strong church, where when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we see the things that are in heaven and we read about them in Scripture and we begin to experience them in worship. We see them coming and impacting the earth, impacting us, impacting the church, and impacting our community. Three lots of gifts: of vocal, revelation, and power. And I want to suggest that where we need to focus our energy is in these gifts: faith, gifts of healings, and miracles. What did Paul say when he was writing to some people many years ago? That your faith might not rest on wise words or persuasive arguments. And wise words are great. And people who can explain the faith in a way, an apologetic way, and they can explain the faith, and I listen to them, and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I wish I had thought to say it that way. But people's faith not resting on wise words or persuasive arguments, but with on a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's where I think we need to go. What the heck? Something's translating my message as I'm speaking it. Voice recognition. Wow, that's amazing. We need to, how do we do this? Right? How do we do this? I've put up my scripture too early. "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." All your heart. How do we do this? We need to be hungry for it. Not for the roast dinner, okay? Not for the vegetarian lasagna. Not for the pepperoni pizza. Not for the lovely high tea looking desserts. A hunger for the things of God. We need to search for them. Firstly, to seek the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To come to the encounter evening and experience prayer. Pray, pray, pray every day. Receive prayer. Study the scriptures for yourself. And the scripture, when it talks about meditating, it's talking about murmuring. You ever seen that where somebody's murmuring? There's a wee bit like that in one of the Lord of the Rings films where Gandalf's kind of, he's murmuring over the things that he's... That's what it means to meditate. It's like you're mulling it over in your mind all the time. For me, I've been in a different place this day. I've been thinking about, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? That's what I've been mulling over this week. That's what I've been murmuring over this last week and a day. Study the scriptures. Ask God to reveal himself to you. We need to ask God for these gifts. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. It's there in the New Testament for a reason. We need to grow in the gifts by actually stepping out in faith and using them. And that's a scary thing to do. We need to cultivate a learning, listening, humble, waiting posture as we come to our times with God. We need to have a heart for the church to be built up. Do you know this for me sums it up? If you don't love the church, if you don't love your brothers and sisters, think about what Paul said. What is the most excellent way? The way of love. If we don't love the church, why would God ever give us a gift to build up the church? Think about it. It doesn't make any logical sense. So if all you're ever doing is moaning about the church, it's this, it's that, it's the next thing. Look at that leader, look at that person. Look at that person next to you. Would you ever be seen dead wearing that? We get distracted by so many stupid things. If we don't love the church, which is the people of God, if we don't love the church the most excellent way, why would God give you a gift to build up the church? Doesn't make any sense. Do you know, we can all make excuses for why we don't do this and we don't do that, and the church is like this and the church is like that. But I want to say today, and I say this with hopefully gentleness and with a degree of humility, but certainly respect for everyone who's in the room, because I know you all personally, and I say it with respect. Let's not just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. Do you know, it's always Beth that gives a message in tongues, so I don't need to bother asking God for that gift. It's not always the pastor who gives an interpretation, have you noticed that? That's really interesting. We can just sort of say, well, somebody else can really dig into God for gifts of healing to pray for people and see the miraculous happen. I'm just going to sit back and let somebody else do that. Do you know what? I think if we seek God, and we genuinely hunger for God, there's a cost to that. There's a cost to it. If we want to move in the things of God, if we want to be part of a powerful church in a nation, and that's what Wednesday the 31st is about. It's about seeking God for the church. And God's doing things and God's saying things in the church. But he's trying to get us to pay attention and get positioned and get yourself ready for the thing that I'm about to do. That's where we're at as a church just now. I've been talking about this as a leader in the church. We need to get ready because God's going to do something, and therefore we need to do some new things in order to get prepared for what God wants to do. I had meant to put this scripture up right now. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a wee moment as we finish our time together today. Lord, there's a sense in which you've kind of put the ball in our court. Lord, Paul recorded these words and they've been preserved through the centuries. He wrote to some people, experienced specific situations, and he wrote for their encouragement and for their correction. But Father, those words were recorded so that your Holy Spirit could take them today and do something in our hearts with them. They're there for a reason. And Father, we've just taken a little bit of time to cover the salient points today. Father, just to skim over the surface of this massive subject. And it's not just what the Bible teaches, it's how we experience it, and it's how we steward those gifts. It's what we do with the gifts that you give us, and it's such a big topic. And Lord, we pray, help us to have a hunger and a passion and a desire for the things of the Spirit, all the different things of the Spirit, including these gifts which are listed as a manifestation of the Spirit. Father, help us to understand that these gifts are vital for building up the church. And Father, I believe that's those who are already believers and those who are not believers, as we saw in the book of Acts. Lord, they saw and heard people speaking the wonders of God in their own language. People were endued with power. And Father, they received that gift to be able to proclaim your wonders in languages of people that had gathered for Pentecost. And so, Lord, we pray, give us a desire and a hunger to build the church. Those who are not part of the church yet, Lord, there are people who are not part of this church yet. They've never come to know you. They've never come to put their trust in you. Not yet, but Father, there are people that you have your hand on in this community, in the various communities that we represent in this room today. Father, there are people in our families. There are people in our streets. There are people in our towns who are going to come to faith. And Father, who are going to experience that transformational power of your gospel. Father, there are boys and girls and Treasure Kids and Oxygen and Treasure Tots who are going to experience the transforming power of God, and they're going to talk to their families and they're going to experience it. And Father, there's going to be rows filled up in this room with families who have come to know you, who've stepped out of bondage into freedom, who've come from darkness into light. Father, whose chains have been broken by the power of the gospel, whose lives have been transformed and turned around because of your power. Lord, you have spoken these things into our hearts. Lord, we pray, help us to pursue these things with everything that's within us. And Lord, we pray for that manifestation of your Spirit. Lord, we pray that the people in this town would see a strong church. Father, that they would hear a noise coming out of this building that's not just the noise of the band, but Father, the sound of the miraculous happening in this place. And Lord, we pray, our prayer is that as we lift up Jesus, because that's what it's all about, that you would draw all men unto yourself. And so, Father, we pray, help us to keep Jesus as the focus of all that we do. Father, it's all about him. It's all about what he has accomplished on that cross for us. It's all about the fact that he sent the Spirit and he enabled the church to be led and to grow. And Father, that's he who said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, Father, help us to take a stand in our day, in our time. This is our time. This is our watch. Father, help us to take a stand and to serve you with our whole heart, everything that's within us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you, and may you have a fantastic week, and I encourage you to really press into all that God has for you. May the Lord bless you, and may he prosper you in all you do. In Jesus' name. Amen.